Welcome to the NSCA Coaching Podcast, Season 10, Episode 6.
And then somebody else, you know, you do a good job. That's why, you know, tell people, listen, you work your butt off. And you're not sure what you want to do. You take these opportunities. And Bruce Hamill, who was the Major League strength coach with the Cubs, came in and said, hey, listen, you know, there could be some opportunities in baseball for you. What wasn't where I wanted to be. I thought I was being college football, like I said, and wound up, you know, getting into with the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, went down, interviewed. So another thing I tell all young strength coaches, always take the conversation. And you might not want, but it's good to work on your skills as far as your interview skills and kind of understanding, you know, that process, learning how to sell yourself a little bit in those scenarios, learn, you know, how that dynamic is.
This is the NSCA's Coaching Podcast, where we talk to strength and conditioning coaches about what you really need to know but probably didn't learn in school. There's strength and conditioning, and then there's everything else.
This is the NSCA Coaching Podcast. I'm Eric McMahon, NSCA's Coaching and Sports Science Program Manager. Today, we have a guest who has extensive experience with the NSCA as a presenter. He was the 2018 Professional Strength and Conditioning Coach of the Year. Tons of experience working in MLB, but now he's working in tactical, the public safety space with the Pasco County Sheriff's Department in Florida. Matt Krause, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate being here. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, man. I'm really excited to hear about your path from MLB and all the work you've done in the past to now working in the tactical space. What's that been like?
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of similarities being in Major League Baseball with certain things from an everyday perspective, and you got a chance to experience that too in baseball. And then coming into the law enforcement space where it's every day, right? It's 24 hours a day, every day. It doesn't stop. So it's one of the things that that I really like about it, because I always liked the grind of baseball, right? You know, 20 something years. And then coming into this space, and I do enjoy that part of it. I enjoy the everyday, there's something every day. You're preparing for something every day. The ongoing of it never stopping, to where people talking about, you know, loading, unloading this, that when it's every single day, you got to have that knack to keep people going on their best day and on the worst day. Right. So and just the mental aspect of a grind. So I really enjoy this space.
That's cool. It's something I hear come through is when you're every single day, there's really no peaking. You know, you always got to be ready to go. You might be at your best, you might be at 80%, but that's your best that day. How do you prepare law enforcement officers, and just like you did in baseball, to go out there every single day?
Well, you know, the number one thing for any industry, right, is learning the job. And kind of getting to understand the mentality and the physical part of it, you know, knowing the job, being around. So I think that it took about first 6 months of coming into this space, kind of not asking as many questions, being more observational, but, you know, asking here and there certain things, but just really getting to learn, understanding terminology. You know, certain things are the same, certain things are not, but really, you know, diving into it. And I've had an opportunity to, really get a chance to understand kind of what they're doing. I was not part of shift work, right? Because baseball is all day too. But understanding how you apply that to, but baseball has that, you know, that set schedule, you know, every single day of the ramp up to a game, and then there's the travel piece to it. But here it's ramping up every single day, and then going from a mid shift to a day shift to a night shift, and understanding all those different pieces to it as people transition from those aspects. And how to apply the process or a program or their routine, all the things that you would say to a baseball player, right? But it applies here too, and how to make those adjustments. So seeing all of it and then getting a chance to dissect it a little bit. You know, obviously when you're a college training coach, when I was working in college and I worked 10 different sports, there's 10 different things going on. And then just being in one area, like we just in baseball, you get to dissect it a little bit and to really kind of hone down on it. And once you kind of understand it, get a chance to start implementing and start making adjustments and try to make it better.
Tactical wasn't completely new to you. I know you have a military background. What was your path into S&C being enlisted in the military?
Well, joining the Marine Corps, so I was in the Marine Corps back when I was 18 years old. It was one of my paths and opportunity to make money to go to school. Listen, I didn't come from a very a family with a ton of money, and but I definitely wanted to go to school. You know, I was, say, a three sport athlete in high school, and obviously I wasn't good enough of in any one of those. You know, I was a plus player, but not enough to get a scholarship, right, or to continue on at a lower level, and so that was part of my path. My dad was a Marine. My uncle was a Marine. I knew some other people in my neighborhood that were Marines, and so I didn't even think of another branch, right? I was going to be, you know, if I was going to do this, I was going to go into the Marine Corps, and but I knew I wasn't going to do it long term. I mean, my path was, you know, my uncle was a college football coach. He was at Richmond, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. You know, he played football at Mississippi State. So as you're, you know, building where you want to kind of go in life. You know, I had all these friends that wanted to be on Wall Street coming out of New York. I was a Queens, Long Island guy, right? And I wanted to get off the island and get out of there and be more like my uncle. And so I just thought I would, you know, move in that direction. So the Marine Corps was a great place for me to, one, grow up. So I give a lot of credit to the Marine Corps. I was, you know, some punk kid that, you know, thought he knew everything, and then I learned that I didn't know anything and that I needed a little structure in my life. I like to say it taught me a little bit more of the killer instinct. I wish I played high school sports after I went to the Marine Corps. I would have been a better practicer. I would have been a better planner. I would have been a lot of things instead of just doing them. And it definitely prepared me to learn how to focus in on some things, and it helped me be better into my career. And so I'm a lot very, very appreciative for taking an 18-year-old kid and teaching him how to grow up.
So you got out of the Marine Corps and that pushed you into college. And were you looking at exercise science? What was your original goal when you were looking at a career?
I always laugh. I said, so I had a buddy that I was at East Carolina University. I know Camp Lejeune is 71 miles from East Carolina. So I'd go over and visit with him. And that's where I saw they had a good sports medicine program. It was my introduction into, say, athletic training, where it kind of started. I was looking at the different ways how I can kind of get into sports, talk to my uncle a little bit. And they had a great program. So I knew when I was transitioning out into the reserve piece, they had a unit over in Raleigh that comes. So, you know, registering, getting into East Carolina was my entrance. They had that exercise science, you know, different disciplines. You can either go the exercise physiology route or go the sports medicine route. I started in the exercise science, I mean, in the sports medicine side of it, becoming an athletic trainer. And, you know, Coach Connors was there. A lot of people say at the NSCA know who Coach Connors was. He was, you know, I wanted to be him. You know, the way he came in, he would do some pregame speeches for football for the men's basketball team that I was working on. I'm like, wow, this guy was like not only training guys in the weight room, but he was doing pregame speeches. And I was like, that's a job that I want. You know, he got everybody going. And I know he's done some talks for the NSCA. And so I looked at him as, you know, I wouldn't have known that a strength and conditioning was even a job, right? And when I saw him do it and the way he did it was exciting to me, and I said, hey, this is something that I could possibly do. And so he actually, you know, crossed the bridge from the athletic training side to the strength and conditioning side for me. He was very generous with his time. You know how people, you kind of finish school in December, but you don't graduate to May because you have to do an internship. So I did my time at East Carolina in the sports medicine program as an athletic trainer. And then in that window, he allowed me to come in and help out with the men's basketball team. I had to go do my cardiac rehab slash, back in the day, say, internship in the morning, and then in the afternoon he let me come into the weight room and then help out. And we got to the end of that semester. I was looking at some graduate assistantship opportunities from the athletic training side, and Coach Connor's like, listen, I can get you one right now if you want to go down to UCF, but it'll be on the strength and conditioning side. And I still didn't have enough money as a driver, but I still wanted to get my master's. And he made a few phone calls for me, had a quick interview, and 4 weeks later I was down in Orlando, Florida, at UCF in that transition. And that's when I started my career in, say, strength and conditioning. Got in there, was working, you know, football at UCF. I was working all every sport, obviously, as a GA. And then so that was it. He made a few phone calls. He stuck his neck out for me, so I appreciate that. You know, you want to give your thank yous along the way. And then took that opportunity and ran with it. And then the following semester, I took my CSCS and got, you know, became a got my certification. and never looked back. You know, it took my so from that point, while I was a GA, I worked like 15 sports there, worked college football, but took my time, did a few other internships while I was there. I worked for the Buccaneers. There were mini camps one summer, and then the following summer, I did it with the Daytona Cubs, and that was my
Oh, cool.
entrance into baseball. Not to date ourselves here on here, 1999. I went over there and did an internship with the Daytona Cubs. And then somebody else, you know, you do a good job. That's why, you know, tell people, listen, you work your butt off. You're not sure what you want to do. You take these opportunities. And Bruce Hamill, who was the major league strength coach with the Cubs, came in and said, hey, listen, you know, there could be some opportunities in baseball for you. What wasn't where I wanted to be. I thought I was being college football, like I said, and wound up, you know, getting into with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, went down, interviewed. So another thing I tell all young strength coaches, always take the conversation. And you might not want, but it's good to work on your skills as far as your interview skills and kind of understanding, you know, that process, learning how to sell yourself a little bit in those scenarios, learn, you know, how that dynamic is, but wound up getting an opportunity and took a job with the Pittsburgh Pirates and got into baseball. Never looked back. 22 years later, spent
Yeah.
3 years with the Pirates. 13-ish with the Reds, you know, it's at the major league level, and then my time with the New York Yankees, and I finished in 2020.
I like how all those early experiences, you got a ton of experience working with different teams, obviously on the medicine side, and that led you into strength and conditioning. But you had tons of experience building programs. I think
Yeah.
of your time with the Reds, your time with the Yankees. Now you're working in building a tactical strength and conditioning department at Pasco County. What are some of the unique challenges when you come in? Maybe the program isn't where it needs to be. How do you build a department from the ground up?
So every opportunity along the way, so even coming to even at UCF at that time, so I don't want to take a step back. It just was that transition from 1AA to Division One, and we're building our program. So it's just me and somebody else as the interns, you know what I'm saying? Then or GAs, and then I got hired on there as a full-time strength coach, and then wound up building out that program and being there to kind of see that. But Coach Bridgman, I think, who's done some things with the NSC at the time, showed me some administrative things that I didn't know that needed to happen, right? So you kind of put these things away for when it's your turn to kind of be in charge. So I wasn't in charge of anything, but I kind of learned the process because we were limited staff. So he had to put me in some challenging situations that I needed to do, right? You had to grow up real quick. So then when I went to the Pirates, baseball was transitioning into developing minor league programs, right? Because at the time it was just a major league strength, a head athletic trainer, assistant trainer, major league strength coach, and a minor league coordinator, pretty much only. Outside of that, it was a lot of internships in and around it. And then while it was my time there with the Pirates, we built out that program. We created a full-time position at the different levels, right? So for short season, you know, well, Gulf Coast, short season, high A, low A, double A, and triple A were, they weren't in crazy salaries, but they were full-time positions.
Those are probably some of the first in the game at that time.
Correct. And so we were able to, from a job creation standpoint, that was pretty cool to be a part of that. And then had the opportunity to, you know, when left the Pirates, came to the Reds. We were building the same kind of minor league program, but this time now I had a plan, right? You need this amount of people. Here's how we're going to roll this off. Carl Alvarez was the major league strength coach at the time, so I got hired on as a minor league guy. And then had the opportunity to take the major league job 2 years later. And then spent, you know, 15 years at the major league level. So I had, you know, 5 minor league years and then 15 at the major league level. It was pretty cool. So being able to watch that program grow, put everything in place from a programming standpoint, learning how to deal with the coaches in the front office and all the other people in the scouting department, was great. And then getting a chance to even do it with the New York Yankees and building out even more programs and then adding in the sports science piece and adding in a dietitian and adding all that. So from a job creation standpoint, I feel like we, you know, over say 20 something years, we're able to, you know, build almost 30, 35 jobs, you know, in the game, which I'm excited about. And then watching some people that came in behind me that all work for the Pirates and different things and moved along and really excited about having those opportunities to where it gave me this opportunity when I got out of baseball and someone came up here and said, hey, you know, Pasco Sheriff's Office wants to build a human performance program at the time. This was an Exos contract. We had a lot of people here from special operations that seen some different things while they were time they were in the military. They knew it was something that needed to happen. And then I was lucky enough to land this position. And I said, hey, you know what? It's not just going to be a human performance program. We did a health and human performance program, right? We have to add in the care aspect from. We have a lot of people that have issues. So we're able to bring in. So now we're here. I guess where we wanted to go with this was we're the first. I call it the long-term development program, right? We're the first health and human performance program or sports medicine program in law enforcement. So we're playing both sides of that. When we're able to build out a staff from a job creation standpoint, now we have another strength coach. I act as the trainer and strength coach. We have a chiropractor and a registered dietitian, and we're able to provide care for the people who need, some soft tissue work and some different things that need to happen. And taking that team approach that we learned through sports over time on how to provide player care, we need to provide, deputy care. And from a tactical athlete standpoint, and when I mean long-term development, we're able to impact the agency by we have an explorer program at the high school level where we do, exposure to all these different things. And we work out at the academy as people come, they want to become deputies. We have some opportunity to help and build foundational movements and corrective exercise at that level. And then like this morning, we have people, then when we hire them officially into the sheriff's office, where we have a program to where we have a strength conditioning program for 6 weeks, as we're training our deputies and teaching them and taking that exposure from those lower levels, right, to here, to where we can build out and show them all the stick mobility and the FRC stuff and shoulder programs and weight room programs and, start, running programs and conditioning programs and agility, and everything kind of gets built out, show them how to expose them to it. And then we have meetings through our FTO program, and then we deal with a patrol, but we have programs for canines, SWAT, and the tip of the spear. So when you think of a long-term development program, Eric, we have stuff from the Dominican Republic to the big leagues, and now we have something from the high school program of people who want to be in law enforcement or ROTC, whatever, and how we get them all the way to SWAT or canine, to be our best. And I feel like we're impacting the agency and getting a lot of support. And so I'm excited to help be a part of that.
So you've seen the culture obviously change in MLB to adopt strength and conditioning. Now you're
Yes.
experiencing that on the tactical side. Do you see a big difference in the culture of how strength and conditioning, sports science, all the different areas you mentioned, nutrition, sports medicine, all how all these different areas are being adopted?
Yeah, it just takes a little bit of time and a lot of sweat equity to, in the beginning, in the beginning times with baseball, right? You didn't have as many people, or there are some people on the coaching staff, the non-believers, right? As long as you have some support at the top, it gives you opportunity to kind of show the value, right? And how we're going to help impact the agency from injury prevention to also to performance, and then how that bleeds into the hitting and ground balls and pitching and all everything. And I've watched a huge swing, say on the baseball side, from pitching coaches that maybe weren't, I don't want to say we're going to say not say as non-believers in the beginning, but weren't as adoptive to where that swing over that, say, 20-year period to where they're almost your biggest advocate. They apply the most science, right, to things to where we gained traction and showed them, hey, the value of it, to where as the front office started adding people in and over time, now you see a huge shift in culture, say in baseball, all the way from the DR all the way through the big leagues, right? And so I'd see the same thing here. You have people here, right, who teach the skills, right? You have shooting skills and jiu-jitsu or defensive tactics and all those different things. And we want to impact the coaching staff to say, hey, here's ways that we can help your skill acquisition, right? To getting people more mobile, right? To get people in better condition. And doesn't you don't have to be, say, marathon runners or bodybuilders and all those type of things we do. You have to be in just enough shape to do the job. And this is a tough job. When they go to trainings, they're out there for 6, 8, 10, sometimes the 12-hour shifts, right? So when you're preparing people to do things for 12 hours, you have to be able to dissect that a little bit. And they got a hard job. They got a hard job with a lot of liability. And so we want to make sure that, number one thing that affects any kind of skill or decision-making process is fatigue. And we have to make sure people are ready to do their job so that they're always making good decisions from hour one to hour 12. That's the approach. And so I'm just fortunate enough to get a chance to see people do something really well. I got to see it on the baseball side. When you get to watch baseball played at a high level for a long time, you get to appreciate a lot of little things. And then I've got a chance to watch people who are really good at their job here show me the right, I guess the right way to go about, say, policing and law enforcement, and how to from a skill side of it. And now we're able to add all the things that we've done on the sports side of it into this side. So from a sports medicine side to the conditioning and strength conditioning side. So now adding some tech into it, right? So we're adding in, so we have a full assessments here. We do all the FMS screens and movement screens and different things that people didn't really think about in 2005 and 6 and 7, back in the day. And now to where we have the On Base U and this and that and TPI, and you have every single kind of assessment possible. Well, we're bringing some of those things here, right? We have to get people assessed. We have to get we're using the in-body, we're using some tech, we're using some pressure mats, we're going to be adding in some stuff from Vault or some force plates and different things. And there's a lot of hitting drills that apply to shooting skills, right? You teach things from the ground up, and we're showing the value of that because people are getting better. So and people need to see the numbers, right? You want to make change, right? They need to see the in-body numbers, they need to see some of the FMS numbers. They need to see those things, because when you just talk about it, right, it's they can't really understand it, but when they see it, it's like, hey, holy cow, we're actually, I'm actually getting better at some of these things. So it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, sounds exciting. And you talk about the tech. Before we were talking about job creation
Right.
and how that's really allowed you to build programs everywhere you've been. But when I hear that, I'm like, hey, you're going to your leadership and you're asking them for money, essentially. You're saying, hey, we
Correct.
need money to hire a strength coach or hire an athletic trainer or to purchase this technology. What's your approach? Going back on what you said, you have your believers, your non-believers. When you're going to somebody in a leadership position saying, hey, we need budget for this, they may not be on board. How do you navigate that process?
I think all of my years of learning how to get to yes and to be patient and to pick and choose your spots. I think when you're a young strength coach, you don't know when to ask and not ask. So I've learned, like, when you lose 10 games in a row, you don't go ask for anything. When you win 10 days in a row and everybody's happy, right? You learn how to pick your spots. And I think, those are some of the things that I've learned around here. So, like, when you know, hey, we're down X amount of deputies, right? So you don't be asking for things, right? And then all of a sudden, when things are moving at full speed around here and things are going well, right? You learn how to pick your spots. So you learn how to get to yes, and part of that is, I've learned, in baseball you have a union, so I guess you learn that you're only, even at your best day, you get about to do about 75% of the stuff you really want to do, right? Because there's unions and rules and guidelines and legal stuff and all these other things. So no one ever gets so hope. So if anyone out there watching, you never ever get 100% of what you want. If you do that, go on your own business, right? If you want to do everything you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, right then and there. But if you're going to be working for another organization or going to be in a team environment, you're never going to get everything you want. So you got to pick and choose, figure out what you think on your list of things is the most important thing that day, right? And ask for those things at the right time. And we've been lucky enough here to now get some federal dollars, and we are building a performance center, and we are getting a dedicated space, right? Because right now I'm in the joint operations building, right? I'm gonna have a health and human performance a building. We're in that process. We got some federal dollars, we got some state dollars, we have some county dollars that we're now building a building, right? Over here, and we have five satellite locations in and around the county, right? The county, 700 square miles, and how we're able to do some of those things. And so we found the right time, we built some success, we got some people from an adoption standpoint that want to do these things, from a sweat equity standpoint. And now we're on the other end of this to where, we put the time in, and we're being rewarded with, our sheriff and our leadership that want to make sure we have a dedicated space to train our deputies, right? Not to and to help impact the agency. So I'm really excited about that we're moving in that direction, and they want to build an add-on.
That's huge, man. It's cool to see departments grow And I think back when you were the president of the PBS, CCS, Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, and you've really had to be an advocate for strength and conditioning through your whole career. It goes back to what you said on job creation. And it's exciting for me to hear that and just see your involvement over the years. You've been a presenter, you've been an award winner. What's the NSCA meant to you at different career stages?
Well, I want to still say that I moved from the president of the PBSECS to the administrative director. I've not left that aspect, say, of the game from the education standpoint. Listen, we all have to give back in certain ways, right? And and I'm fortunate enough to that the board with the PBSECS allows me to be a part of, say, the trade show and to be part of. We're going to be doing another webinar here soon. I think people out there need to know that you need to give your time back, and a lot of it's going to be in the form of education and time and talks like this. And so, along with that, yes, I still like coming to the. Well, I don't want to keep screwing up all these acronyms, right? So the NSCA, and just you being letting me be a part of this. This is huge, right? But I want to just make sure that that I'm taking the time to help out people, just like Connors and Bridgman and different people. And then obviously one day like this program, the sheriff is giving their time and opportunity to me, to where I like to give back to some of these things, right? And go and just, hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, not everyone's gonna agree with the way I do things. But it's okay to go out there and be judged by your peers a little bit. I think some people get nervous about that. We all are in the beginning part of our career, and now you get to a certain point to where, I'm okay because some of the things I'm talking about, I'm doing good at, and some I'm not doing as good. But hopefully, someone in the room could be constructive enough to say, hey, Matt, here's a better way to do it, instead of just kind of beating you down. And I've been on both ends of that, but I'm not as worried about that anymore, and I'm okay to, hey, here's what I got, here's what we're doing, help me make it better. Be constructive on that, and I'll come to you and to other people with through the NSCA, and you got a lot of good people in this tactical space, and they've been very welcoming. This is more welcome than they are, say, on the say the sports side of it, and what a great community, and everyone wants to help it get better, and so I'm a very, very, very appreciative of that. And so that's the community from the NSCA. They've been great.
Yeah, your willingness to be open, to share what you do, even if it's the best thing out there, or maybe it's something you're still working on. I love that that comes through. If someone wants to reach out and get some of that advice from you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I guess if you, I don't know if you're going to put the email up on the screen, but email's the best. To get a hold of me. I do try to reply to all of them. And hopefully you could just take a little tidbit from here, because everyone should put their own flavor on some things. We all take some tidbits from each other, and hopefully you can kind of process some of the things that we're doing here. And but I'm always willing to help, because I know other agencies now are starting to in the state of Florida, right? We have 68 counties, and I hope all 68 counties at some point they are hiring a strength and conditioning coach. And to help all their programs, to help all these deputies. What a much needed job. A lot of job satisfaction in helping these people.
Yeah, it's really exciting to hear. Job creation is the name of the game. We care about creating opportunities for coaches to move through the field like we have. And that's something that comes through on your baseball background, through the PBS, CCS. This is cool that this was a baseball episode, but it was also a tactical episode. We don't always cross
Right.
those two areas in this in the same episode here on the podcast. So I think it speaks to the fact that you can move through different areas of the field, and our skill set is valuable. Our knowledge is valuable, and we can take that with us when we have a new career opportunity or something that interests us. So I think that's a really positive, encouraging messages for our listeners. Matt, thanks so much for being on today.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Eric, appreciate it. Appreciate your friendship. And I got a chance to meet two more people today, that are in the background there. So anytime. And then I'm also going to be speaking at the tactical. Just let everyone know that I'll be speaking at the tactical conference come August.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks everybody for tuning in today. Great episode. We talked tactical baseball strength and conditioning. Matt has a ton of information and knowledge, experience with the NSCA. He's a great contact. So we'll put his information into the show notes. Also, a special thanks to Sorenex Exercise Equipment. We appreciate their support.
This was the NSCA's Coaching Podcast. The National Strength and Conditioning Association was founded in 1978 by strength and conditioning coaches to share information, resources, and help advance the profession. Serving coaches for over 40 years, the NSCA is the trusted source for strength and conditioning professionals. Be sure to join us next time.